Stand with you.
He said this is a proposal, right? Or a proposal? I should vote against.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I know it is. So thank you for letting us come and present. So I am flanked by the team from LSA, who is our housing consultant. And we have named the study officially, which is the Home Opportunities and Market Evaluation. So the acronym is HOME, which is kind of convenient. So we started this process back in October after the comp plan. We came to county council at that time to seek approval to go out for RFP, to seek some assistance from an outside consultant to help us make sense of some policies that aren't being very productive as far as creating some affordable housing opportunities. So long story short, we have contracted with LSA, Lisa Sturdivant and her team in February, and they've been working ever since to churn data right now. And so they're here to do a brief update on what they found. They have a packed week of talking with lots of stakeholders and hosting various focus group meetings. And then this evening, we actually have a public housing forum at 6 p.m. right here in council chambers, which we're excited about to hear from members of the public that we wouldn't otherwise get to speak with. And then she'll be back again to speak with you all for sure about her progress to date. So without further ado, I will let her take over.
Thank you very much. Thank you, members of the County Council, for the chance to come and speak with you all individually this morning, as well as here at this meeting. As Brandy mentioned, we are here to work with county staff, to work with you, the elected officials, to work with members of the community on this issue related to housing availability and affordability in the county. We're based in Alexandria, Virginia. My colleagues Jennifer Scow and David Holman are with me as well. And we do these kinds of projects for lots of different communities around the country where there's an interest in figuring out whether there's a way to make sure that everybody can find housing that they can afford, given that the wages and the incomes that they earn. We recently finished up projects in the town of Hilton Head, South Carolina, and in Williamsburg, Virginia. And so some of the issues that we learned about in those communities really sort of are serving us as we're talking with you all. But what we do want to do is to provide an objective, sort of thorough analysis of the economic conditions, the demographic change here in the county, to understand what the market looks like, to evaluate housing needs, and then to provide recommendations to you all for action that really reflect not only what we've identified as where there might be needs where the market currently isn't meeting the demand for housing, but to make those recommendations really consistent with the economic conditions on the ground, with the regulatory environment in which Sussex County operates, and really with the values of the community. So that's our goal, is to figure out if there are recommendations that we can bring to you such that the county can set the right framework so that the incentives for the private sector to deliver housing are more efficient than they've been in the past. So that's really our goal. And we have a few months to do this. It feels like we take our time here at the beginning, but it's really we're getting a chance to learn about your community. We know we're outsiders. We know we don't live here. And so we want to make sure that we learn as much as we can. And as Brandy mentioned, we've been looking at a lot of data over the last few weeks. And today, tomorrow, and yesterday, we'll be talking with lots of different stakeholders here in the community. After we do that, we'll be doing an analysis of the existing programs, and we'll be taking a really hard look at market conditions in different sub-areas of the county to figure out, look, how much does it cost to actually build housing, cost of land, cost of labor, cost of materials? What is it that we need in order to meet the needs, and where are potential opportunities for making incentives such that a more diverse set of housing options can be produced? So that's sort of the high level of where we're going, but as Brandy mentioned, I'm going to turn it over to my colleague Jennifer here in just a moment, but what we've been doing is really doing this look at data. And so what we wanted to do is share with you what we found, because we had a chance to talk with you, but we didn't tell you really what we'd found. We wanted to make sure what we'd been seeing in the data was consistent with what we're hearing from you, and by and large it was. But we did want to share with you what we found in terms of the data analysis and the market and housing needs assessment. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Jennifer. She's going to share a little bit of information, and I know if you have questions along the way, let us know, but we'll also have a chance to talk afterwards. So Jennifer, I'll turn it over to you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So one of the first things that we look at is population. What does that look like? How has it changed over time? And in Sussex County, we've seen some steady population growth. Most of that growth, two-thirds of that growth, has been among older adults who are older than 65. So we've got a lot of older adults. We've also got a lot of households that are married couples without kids living in Sussex County. And so we're attracting a lot of those types of households, but not as much families with children in that same way. Although it's been a slightly declining over the years, there's still about 25% of the population who lives alone. So household data really can inform what kind of housing we should be thinking about. Maybe as the population is getting older, we should be looking at smaller housing units, maybe the flexibility to allow for a caregiver to come in or for other family members to come in so that they can age in community. And maybe we need to look at accessible housing options as well. So in addition to changes in household composition, we've seen more and more higher earning households coming into the city, or coming into the county. So over 5,000 households over the last few years have incomes higher than 150,000. And at the same time, we've seen a decline in the number of households earning less than 50,000. We don't know why. We don't know if those households are now earning more income, or maybe they find Sussex County is not affordable, so they're leaving. But even though there is a decline, still 30% of the households earn less than 50,000, which is still a substantial amount of people in the county.
We don't call them poor at 50,000, do we? Do we call in poor people at 50,000?
So actually, going into the next slide, in terms of employment, I just wanted to define kind of what it means. We've heard about affordable housing. We've heard about workforce housing. What does it mean to be in the workforce? And how we define that is anyone who has a job and is contributing to the local community here in Sussex County. So when we think about what types of jobs we have here, a substantial number of the 78,000 jobs are among four categories: accommodation and food services, retail trade, healthcare, social assistance, and manufacturing. Manufacturing has been declining over the years, was a much bigger part of the economy. And I do want to point out, this does include like the poultry processing under this sector. Also, there has been about 3% on average per year job growth. That job growth has largely been among the lower wage jobs, accommodation and food services, healthcare and social assistance, which you'll see in the next slide. They do make slightly higher than average wages, but there is still a lot of lower wage earners, home health aides, and other sort of administrative type people within that category that earns lower wages. So when we think about who is in the workforce and what they can afford to pay in housing, this table sort of tries to get at that. So what you're seeing here, manufacturing, retail trade, healthcare and social assistance, accommodation and food services, as well as I added public administration, which includes teachers, it includes local, federal, and state employees. This is over 80% of your workforce on this table. So on average, the average Sussex County employee earns about $39,000. What they can pay in rent, we take the standard 30% of that goes towards housing costs. So the average person can pay about $987 in rent. When you think about home ownership, usually there's more than one person buying a home, so we double that in that industry, and then we expand that by 3.5 times to get that affordable home ownership level. So when we think about the average Sussex County person, they can really only afford like $276,000. But when you look at some of the major trades, retail trade, accommodation, and food services, they can afford less. So between $500 and $700 in rent, less than $200,000 in a home. Healthcare and social assistance, I mentioned, it's a large industry here. It's growing. They can afford slightly more, but again, there's some lower wage folks within that industry that I think the higher earning, some of the higher earners in this industry may be skewing that the average wage up. So since most of Sussex County's home ownership, I wanted to start with the for sale market. And we just wanted to get a sense of what is available. If we went on Zillow and we were looking to buy a home, what options, would we find? And in our search a couple of weeks ago, we saw that a lot of homes were priced pretty high. So about 20% of the homes were listed for $500,000 or more. At the same time, we only saw about 13% of the homes that were listed under 200,000, and I'd say 88% of those homes were manufactured homes. And when we think about the workforce, 38% can really afford something that's under 200,000. Meanwhile, only less than 10% can afford those homes that are over 500,000. And all these homes that I've pictured are between 500,000 and 600,000. So, but we know that median homes, well, what I showed you before was just a snapshot of just that day that we looked, what was available. It may not be representative of everything. We know that the median home values have been going up. So in 2012, they were about 226,000. They went up to 276,000 as of 2017. And Sussex County is also gaining the new stuff that's being built. More and more of those homes are priced over $500,000. And we're actually losing homes that are priced under $100,000. Another thing that we noticed in the data was that we're also losing manufactured housing. So we've lost about 5,000 units over the last few years. Which manufactured housing, although it does get a bad rap, the new product out there can be just as good as site-built homes, and it can also be a lower-cost alternative to households with modest means.
You said we've lost 5,000 units of mobile?
Yeah, there's been about 5,000 units.
Over what period?
Between 2012 and 2017.
Wow.
Yeah, and actually most of those are among renter-occupied homes. So
what's the reason for we lost that many? What do you think the reason is? Because land became more affordable? Is that why it happened?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why we're here. We're trying to learn more about that.
Because interest went down? Is that the reason it did that? Interest.
Interest?
Yeah, the interest go down because is that why it started getting less from
the homes? Interest in manufactured homes or the financial
buy,
interest?
You buy a home, so you've got to pay less interest.
Interest on the loan.
Right.
I don't know the answer. I'm sorry.
I'm glad you explained that, Mike.
Is that what you were saying? I thought.
You're exactly right.
Okay.
I thought it was understandable.
I guess just speaking about manufactured homes and a lot of the loss has occurred among renter-occupied housing, I do want to transition over to the rental market, which is about 15,000 households in Sussex County, and we've seen less renters than there were a few years ago since 2012. This table, there's a lot going on here, so I just wanted to take a moment and break this table down. So what I've got in the bottom three rows are rents that are affordable to, or the maximum allowable rents that you can charge if you are under a certain program for low-income housing. So they set rents at no more than 60% of the area median income. And I've also got other main targets, 50% as well as 30%. So 60% means in dollars, because that's, it's hard to really think about housing when it comes to AMI sometimes. 60% AMI is about $30,000 for one person. For a family of four, $43,000. So they set rents by bedroom and by household income at what is affordable at these various rent levels. And so you can see efficiency about 757 going up, 811 for a one bedroom, 973 for a two bedroom, and so forth. Comparing that to the top row, 2017 median gross rents, we see that they're actually fairly similar. They're pretty similar to what the low-income housing program sets their rents at. So half of the rents for a two-bedroom are below $1,000 that those people could afford. And really, only when you get down to the extremely low-income households, $15,000 or less for one person and about $21,000 for a family of four, do you really get a large disparity in what those folks could afford and what the median rents show. But what we know from looking at the data and looking at trends over time is that median rents are going up. So 5 years ago, they were $888. Now they're $978. We also know that we're losing lower cost rentals. So there's less units that are under $1,000 than there were 5 years ago, and there's more. The largest growth has been among apartments that are between $1,000 and $1,500. So we know rents are going up, and another thing that we did, we sort of did the same exercise from the rental market. We wanted to see if we were looking for an apartment. We specifically focused on two bedrooms just to make it easy. What could we afford? What's out there? So, and what we know is as rents are going up, they also vary widely depending on where you are in the county. And so this snapshot pretty much tells the story, I think, of what we've been hearing since we've got here. So on the left, this what's in parentheses is when these apartments were built. So we wanted to get something that was built within the last 5 years, but then also had vacancy as of the day that we looked. So this apartment in Seaford, about $1,000. So if I was in the workforce, who could afford that? The average construction worker, the average person working in manufacturing, or the average local government employee. Moving east into Millsboro, this apartment is worth $1,225 for a two-bedroom. The average, and again, this is average, the average healthcare worker or social assistance worker could afford this Millsboro apartment, and maybe someone working in IT. And then going further east into Lewis, this one had a range. So on the lower end of units in this apartment, 1555, you know, who could afford that? That's someone in finance, maybe someone in insurance. And then on the higher end, you're really getting at a very small portion of the workforce, about less than 1%. So it's executives of companies that can afford this Lewis apartment at the higher end. And I do want to point out that about 44% of your workforce cannot afford to live in any of those apartments, even the one in Seaford. So speaking of what is affordable, we do have, Sussex County does have some subsidized housing that's been produced through federal programs such as the Low Income Housing Tax Credit, the USDA program, project-based rental assistance. And I want to point out that a lot of people, not just mission-driven organizations, but actually for-profit groups, have taken advantage of these programs to produce subsidized housing. Mostly what we see in the data is concentrated on the West Coast, so 56% is in Western communities, and most of that's concentrated in Laurel or Seaford. So even with over 3,000 units of subsidized housing, there's still some substantial cost burden among households in Sussex County. About 29% pay more than 30% of their income towards housing costs. That includes about 11,000 households who spend more than 50% of their income towards housing.
What are you including in housing costs?
When you think about rent, it's the rent and also the utilities.
So you do include them?
Yeah, and when you're looking at, I guess, on the homeownership side, you're looking at the mortgage payment, insurance, taxes.
AMI plus and plus utilities.
Okay, so this map here, what I wanted to point out and what we've been learning as we've visited various parts of the county and we've been talking to you all, that things aren't totally equal in this county, and that this map, what it's showing is that communities that are on the eastern side as well as those that are west of Seaford are disproportionately spending more on housing costs than other portions of this community, of this county. But this isn't really telling the whole picture of Sussex County and housing affordability, because what we know is that what we've heard is that people are moving further away from their neighborhoods that they work, or neighborhoods near services or other amenities, so that they can afford housing. And that what we know when we look at housing and transportation is that sometimes the savings on housing costs can be lost when you think about transportation and adding that into play. So one thing that the Center for Neighborhood Technology does is they do an analysis of what you're spending on housing as well as transportation. And we wanted to share that with you. So it's pretty eye-opening. So on the left was the map that you just saw. That's the percent that people spend on their housing costs. On the right is the housing plus transportation, what people are spending on both housing as well as transportation. And in areas around Georgetown, around Laurel, where people were spending less than 30% on their housing are now spending 45 to 54% on transportation on average, or in some communities, 54 to 66% on average. And so it's really adding to the cost that, and it really, the savings that they had on their housing costs is lost because of the added transportation. And on average, the standard is 30% towards housing costs, 15% towards transportation, so 45% to both. And they estimate that on average, Sussex County is spending 56%. So all of this cost burden data does not include those who are homeless. So we did want to share what we know from the point in time count. As of 2018's count, there were 118 people counted as homeless. These are people living in shelter. These are also people unsheltered. Point in time uses a methodology where they go one night at the end of January. And what it does is allows us to track the occurrence of homelessness over time. But it doesn't necessarily always capture the picture of homelessness and housing insecurity in a community, especially in one like Sussex County, where you probably draw a lot of people during the summer months and there's more population during that time of the year.
How accurate do you think that number really is, 118 people?
It's hard to say. I mean, this is, when I look at the point in time count over the last few years, it's been around this number.
Who reports that? Where does that come from?
The continuum of care. So this is, I believe state of Delaware has a continuum of care.
Yeah, they do.
And they do it.
It's based from Social Services reports this.
Yeah, so the continuum of care.
They go out in the street.
Go Walmart.
Yeah, the continuum of care works with local people in communities. So people who are doing the work, providing services for.
I'm sorry. So Housing Alliance Delaware is the lead entity for the continuum of care in Delaware. And so they coordinated the last two point in time counts and for the past year. So they handle the volunteer, you know, for all of going out to it. So it's only a snapshot. It's who you find on that evening.
Is that so? That's people basically, as Jim Martin might say, roofless. But it's not necessarily the guy that's couch surfing, you know.
Correct. Right. So, and it may not even capture people staying in motels or hotels.
Right.
but it does, anyone that's in shelter or that you encounter, because volunteers go out even into rural settings to look for folks, so.
It just seems incredibly low to me, I mean, honestly.
Is that for the whole state, or is that just Sussex County?
This is just Sussex County.
Sussex County, okay. In other words, you go to Walmart, $518.
The whole state's about $1,000. So just going into broadly, what we're seeing is that there's a lack of rental housing affordable to incomes under $35,000. And what that means in rent is about $87 or less. On the homeownership side, there also is a gap to these working people making under $35,000, and for a home that equates to about $200,000 or less. And I'm just going to turn it over to Lisa, and she's going to kind of talk about next steps.
Yeah, thanks, Jennifer. And actually, I'm just going to wrap up real quick and give you guys a chance to ask us questions, because we just put a whole lot of data out to you, and I know there's some questions about some of the data that you've seen might not be consistent with what you've seen in other places or tell a slightly different stat. But we want to take all of this information, and it's going to form the basis of the plan that we provide to you all. And our goal is to have recommendations to share with you over the summer, and then to provide a full plan and a full set of recommendations for you to vote on in September. And then the idea would be that the recommendations that we produce are meant to reflect where we see the needs are and where we see the opportunities are here in the community. And they would be recommendations that we would suggest would be codified into the zoning ordinance or be created as a formal policy, so that the whole policy would be transparent and clear to any folks in the development community who would be here to take advantage of them. And so, you know, with that, that is the end of our presentation, and open up to questions. Open up to any questions.
Questions,
Council?
I do.
Russ?
The when you talk about the income, that's the gross income, correct?
Gross. All those income figures are gross income. That's correct, sir.
Okay.
So before taxes, yep.
Yeah.
Any more questions?
We're going to have to ask for a raise, it looks like.
That's right. We don't. Never mind. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mizzi. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Brandy.
Thank you.
Ms. Jennings, grant requests.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have three grant requests. First one is Rehoboth Summer Children's Theater is requesting $500 for their summer programs. The summer programs include performances and week-long theater camps for children 5 to 14. Last grant received was $500 from Mr. Cole and Mr. Hudson placed on the agenda.
You want the same thing?
I will do it, yes.
Okay, motion, Mr. Hudson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Burke, to grant $500 to Rehoboth Summer Children's Theater for operating expenses for Mr. Hudson's Council Mapping Account. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
I will, yes, motion carried. Next.
Next one is Downtown Milford is requesting $5,000 for their Ladybug Festival. The festival is a free event that provides a valuable economic boost to the independent businesses in Milford. Last grant received was $2,250, which was $1,250 from Mr. Burton and $1,000 from Mr. Wilson. Mr. Wilson placed on the agenda.
Sir.
I make a motion we do the same.
I will do that.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second Mr. Burton, to grant $2,250 to the Downtown Milford for the Ladybug Festival, being $1,250 from Mr. Burton's Council Bank account, and $1,000 Mr. Wilson's Council Bank account. Questions on a motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
I will, yes, motion carried. Next.
Okay. The last one is the American Legion Auxiliary Unit 28 is requesting support for their Poppy Fund. This fund is used locally to assist veterans in the hospital in rehabilitation and those that are disabled. There's no specific amount requested. Last grant received was $500, which was $100 from each council member. And Mr. Riley placed on the agenda.
Mr. Riley.
Well, I would move that I'll
do the same thing.
Well, I'll do $500 for mine, and I'll allow the others, if they want to do $100 each, as before, that would be $900 total.
I don't think we're make Mr. Riley, take money away from Mr. Riley.
Okay. So what do you want to do?
We'll just go let Mr. Riley give the money.
Or let him give all the money?
Right.
Okay.
Well,
Okay. You're going to make that, your motion is to grant $500 out of your account's bank account.
I will grant $500 from my account.
Hey, both one of them.
I will go the 500. I will go the 100 that we did before out of my council, my district.
100. I will do also the 100.
100.
I guess I'll give my $100.
You haven't got much choice.
Looks like it.
So, motion, Mr. Riley. Second, Mr. Burton.
Second, Mr. Burton.
To grant $900 to the American Legion Auxiliary Unit 28 for Poppy Fund, being $500 Mr. Riley's council bank account and $100 from the rest of us.
I start to feel like I'm sort of cutting short.
We don't want to do that.
You can get $500 if you want.
Any questions on the motion?
I don't want $500.
We're going to take the vote. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
I'm the motion carried. Proposed zoning ordinance introduction, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. The first one is in Mr. Burton's district, an ordinance grant a conditional use plan in a GR general residential district for equipment storage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 0.91 acre more or less.
Move for adoption.
Mr. Burton introduces it.
The next one is also in Mr. Burton's district, an ordinance grant a conditional use plan in an AR1 agricultural district for multifamily, two units, to be located on certain parts of land, lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 3.4516 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
Burton introduces it.
The next one is in Mr. Vincent's district, an ordinance grant a conditional use plan in an AR1 agricultural residential district for motor vehicle sales to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 0.1657 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
And the last one is in Mr. Wilson's district, an ordinance amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a C2 medium commercial district for certain parcels of land lying and being in Nanticoke 100, Sussex County, containing 2.41 acres, more or less.
Introduce it.
Mr. Wilson introduced it.
And that is all, Mr. President.
Council member comments. Council member comments. I do want to say one thing then. Sometimes we don't hear all the good that our employees do. I think we hear sometimes people complain about things, but I got a phone call this morning from a gentleman who came in last week to our counter to get a building permit. And I'm not going to mention the person's name, but he complimented the young lady with how pleasant she was, how professional she was, and how quickly he got through the process.
That's good to hear.
How good a job she did.
Very good.
I have told her since then personally, but it's a good thing.
It's a good report.
There you go.
I had to call his.
Entertain a motion to go to executive session for collective bargaining and personnel.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Hudson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
I will, yes. Motion carried.